That's good news, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Jesus, our living hope. Before we go to prayer, I want to invite you to have a look at the prayer focus. I've misplaced mine. But if you have one, I want you to note the names on there of all those with cancer and other difficulties. Thank you. And I want to mention this now so you can be thinking about this towards the end, because there's a number of names on here that are brand new. People just learned they had cancer this week. Sierra Farber and Larry Doucette. Some of you know Larry. And Vicky Gold. All just learned they got cancer this week. And lots of others that are on there with cancer. Kevin and Kathy Story going through treatments. And Janet Moon going through treatments. Anyway, I just want you to be aware they're there. And please remember to lift them up in prayer. And at the close of today's service, we're going to pray for you. If you're sick, have cancer, or if you want to come forward, we will pray for you on behalf of your loved one that may be on here. So we're going to do that to close our service today. But I do want to draw your attention to the names on here. There's a lot of them. Thank you. And they would surely appreciate your prayers. So before we go any further, let's pray now. Father, thank you that you have sent your Son, and your Son, Jesus Christ, is our living hope. He is, according to your word, the only way to come unto you, to be part of heaven. You have provided to us, Jesus, to bridge the gap between you, our holy heavenly Father, and us, a sin-filled humanity. You have provided to us Jesus and the cross to fill the gap, to draw us unto you. And so I pray, O God, that above all else, today we would know individually, everyone here, we would know Jesus as our living hope. And we do pray, Father, for those names in the prayer focus. There are many. We do lift them up to you. We do ask for your divine intervention. We do ask above all else, Father, for those that are on our prayer focus, for our community, for our region, for our nation, that people would know Jesus. Not just with a head knowledge, but would know Jesus as Lord and commit to follow him. And so we pray for all the sicknesses, all the illness, all the difficulties, all the struggles in marriage and financially in jobs and all the difficulties of life, Father, we lift them up to you because none of it is too much for you. Even when we hear that diagnosis of cancer and it seems like our world is falling apart, has come crashing down, we can always go to you. We can always cry out to you. We can always trust to you, trust in you and cling to you. And so I pray we would do that, Father. And I pray that you would comfort each and every name on there and everyone else here. You know our struggles. You know our challenges. You know our joys and our sorrows. And I pray, O God, that we'd lay it all at the cross and trust you, follow you, commit to you. Thank you, Father. We get to worship you this morning. And I pray that your Spirit would guide us. And not only us here in this gathering, but in churches everywhere. I pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up and people would come to Christ and to the cross for salvation. And you would forgive us and you would heal us and you would guide us, Father, closer to you. And, oh Lord, I pray for revival in the church. I pray for revival in America. I pray for revival around the globe. Set your people on fire with the Holy Spirit of God, I pray, so we would be passionate for you. Do it here this morning, Lord, we pray. Do it amongst us. Do it amongst your people all over. We ask it and pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I was reading the Christian Post this week, and two titles caught my attention. The first one was Leaving Christianity. If you were here last week, you heard me talk about we could be, according to Judges chapter 2, one generation like they were in Judges chapter 2, if we're not diligent about passing on Jesus. And so I read these two articles. The first one was called Leaving Christianity, and I want to read just a paragraph from the article to you. Earlier this year, this is an October article, October 2019, but just happened to show up in my news feed this week. Earlier this year, Joshua Harris, pastor and author of the controversial book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, announced that he no longer considered himself a Christian. And he quotes this, "By all the measurements that I have defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now," he stated in an Instagram post. And soon after Pastor Joshua made that announcement, Hillsong music writer Marty Sampson took to social media to explain that he was seriously questioning his Christian beliefs. Here's what he said, "I'm genuinely losing my faith, and it doesn't bother me. Like, what bothers me now is nothing. I am so happy now, so at peace with the world, it's crazy," Sampson wrote in a now-deleted Instagram post. Even before, the article continues, even before notable Christian figures like Harris and Sampson made headlines, it had been well documented that Christianity in America has been declining, while those who identify as religiously unaffiliated or nuns have been on the rise. You remember last week I mentioned those categories. Religiously unaffiliated or nuns is on the rise. Atheism and the religiously unaffiliated are growing and Christianity is declining. I mentioned that last week and saying we could be one generation like they were in Judges 2. Well, they didn't know about God. Later in that article, to add credibility to what I was saying last week and this article, it says that number of religiously unaffiliated or nuns in America is now at 24%. 24% of Americans say, "I have no connection with any religion. I have no affiliation with any church." That translates to 75 million people. That's a lot of people. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? There's 100 million more in America that say, "I believe in God," but are not worshiping Him regularly. I say this because of what I said the last 2 weeks. The other news article that caught my eye, I'll just give you the title, from the Christian Post this week. The title was, "Report Projects 35 Million Youth Will Leave Christianity by 2050. Well, you say, well, that's 30 years away. Lots will change. The way things are going, this article then describes as I read it, by 2050 there will be another 35 million young people born, and some little now, that will leave the Christian faith by 2050. My mind, I don't know about yours, but my mind screams, no, the church needs to do something about that. Amen? But the trends would suggest exactly what I said to us the last couple of weeks. Most of you recall that I spoke from Joshua 24 and Judges 2 last week and reminded us that we too could be just one generation away from the masses not knowing about God and thereby not choosing to follow Him. And so today I want to call our attention to the New Testament. So if you got your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read to you four or five verses. If you've got your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I believe this goes along with what I've been saying, and I'll tie it together here in a few minutes. In these books, Timothy, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is charging, to use his word, or challenging, or encouraging, or spurring on Timothy as his spiritual son. And when you get to 2 Timothy 4, you're also going to see that Paul says to him, my life is basically over. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. That's in 2 Timothy 4 also. The time of my departure is at hand. But before he says that, there's four or five verses here that I want us to see from the Apostle Paul to Timothy that I think are exceedingly relevant today. Here's what he said. I charge you, this is the Apostle Paul to Timothy, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So you might be asking, I charge you with what? Verse 2. I charge you, Timothy, preach the word. Okay? Challenging him, encouraging him, spurring him on. Timothy, never neglect to preach the word of God that I have instructed you, that I have written to these other letters about. Preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, do it on Sunday morning and do it on Monday morning. Preach the word. Be ready to give an answer. And then he says, convince them, Timothy. Sometimes you will need to rebuke. Sometimes you will need to exhort with all long suffering or patience and teaching. Why would he say that? Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ that I have been teaching you. Why would he say that? Look at what he says in the next verse. The time is coming. It will come, Timothy, when they, the listeners of your word, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. What kind of teachers, you might ask? And they, that's the teachers, will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's why he says, I charge you, Timothy, be faithful in proclaiming the truth from the word of God. Preach the word, because the time will come, he says, that people will no longer want to hear the truth from the word of God. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. And if that ain't bad enough, they will get for themselves leaders and teachers that will tickle their ears, so to speak, give them what they want to hear. So let me just say this about these four or five verses. I believe that we have arrived at this point. If you back up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you can see that the Apostle Paul talks about the perilous times at the end. I believe we've reached that too. But then he gets to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says to Timothy, there's going to be a time when people don't want to hear the truth from Scripture. Oh, people will gather. People will want to hear something, but they don't want to hear the truth from Scripture. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that we have arrived at that point in America that if folks in and out of the churches don't have their ears tickled, so to speak, in other words, the message that makes me feel good, I don't want to hear about sin, I don't necessarily want to hear about hell, I don't want to hear about having to repent of such matters, people will no longer endure that kind of thing, Paul tells Timothy. They want to hear what makes them feel good. They want to hear a message that they can go home with no commitment. And I fear, brothers and sisters, we have arrived at the point in time, if we don't hear what makes us feel good, then we're mad and we leave the church or we go elsewhere. I fear we have arrived at this point in time if the church leadership, pastors, whatever, will not go along with my worldly thinking, my fleshly thoughts and desires, well, I'm going to stop going or I'm going to look elsewhere. We have arrived at those times where people want to have our ears tickled more than we want the sound doctrine. Paul said it was happening. I don't like to have to even mention this, brothers and sisters, but all over America, we have church leaders, pastors, that would label themselves as progressive. And what that simply means, what that simply tells us, they figure they have a new revelation on what God said about sexuality and other moral issues of the day. And those types of messages are simply falling into the category, precisely what Paul said would happen. They're satisfying some of those itching ears. It's happening amongst us. It's happening around us. The time will come, the apostle Paul said to Timothy, they no longer want to hear the truth from Scripture. The time will come, they do not want to endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, that's our own fleshly desires, they will bring themselves together teachers that'll turn them away from the truth. You see the seriousness of this matter, brothers and sisters. This is a serious matter. And Paul told Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Correct people's behavior when it's going astray, when they're in sin. Exhort, challenge, because there's going to come a time when they're not going to listen to any of that. They're only going to listen to what they want to hear that makes them feel good without any conviction or need for repentance. I fear, brothers and sisters, the time has come in America when we, as a culture, do not endure sound doctrine. We don't want to hear from the Christian or the Jesus follower that suggests this might be sin or that might be contrary to God's word. We don't want to hear that. We label those folks, as a matter of fact. I fear we have arrived at a time when we do not endure sound doctrine. We want to go someplace that's not going to mention sin. Not going to be talking about my hang-ups. Not going to be talking about hell. We want to go someplace to have our ears tickled. All over America. I'll give you one very quick example. Most of you probably read this already. The state legislative sessions have just fired up again. Each state fires up their own legislators and senators. They start out their new session. It's that time of the year again. Virginia's just fired theirs up this week. They invited in a dear brother, African-American pastor, to open up their session in prayer. Some of you read this? Nobody. Some of you did? The brother was praying. And he was praying about the sins of the day. He was praying about things like abortion and sexual immoralities. And pretty quick, people began to get up and leave. Get up out of the chambers and leave. And after so many minutes of this brother pouring out his heart to God on behalf of the leaders, hoping they'll seek God and trust God, the Speaker of the House, time out, that's enough of that, and call it off and go on about your business. That's exactly my point. That wasn't in a church, that's just in society, but that's exactly my point. We have arrived at that place that Paul said we would arrive. We will no longer endure sound doctrine. Don't talk to me about sin. We don't want to hear it. Now, here's where I bring them together. Listen to me. I believe that part of the reason we are seeing this mass exodus away from the church, this mass exodus that is predicted to continue in the next 10, 20, 30 years and beyond, I believe that part of the reason for this is the lack of biblical sound doctrine being proclaimed from the pulpits in America today. Why do I say that? Because people get confused over these mixed messages. People get confused. Christians saying one thing and living another way. Would that not confuse you? That would confuse me if the preacher or the pastor or the priest or whatever said to me one thing and lived a different way. That would be confusing. Christians proclaiming sin or what the Word of God said is no longer relevant in the 21st century. That would be confusing to me. Why is it no longer relevant? It was good for 2,000 years. I believe that part of the reason we're seeing this mass exodus is because of the lack of sound biblical doctrine being proclaimed from the pulpits today. And no, I'm not on my high horse thinking I'm better than anybody else. I'm not. But I know what this says. And Paul said what we're seeing here today in America would happen. Too often, friends, we sit in the proverbial pews of the church houses of America and have our ears tickled a little while and then go home with no commitment to follow Jesus. When Jesus invited people to follow him, it means that we stop following the world. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? You're looking a little drowsy. This is serious stuff. Paul said the time will come when people just want to have their ears tickled. They do not want to hear about sin. They do not want to hear about hell. He said, Timothy, preach the word, because the time is coming that they do not want to hear that anymore. They want to be satisfied in their lives outside of Christ, maybe even in sin, doing their own merry thing, going their own merry way, and suggesting at the end of life, I'll be fine because I was a pretty good person. That's what Timothy was told would happen. And it's happening among us. We have arrived, brothers and sisters, I fear... even in the church to some degree, where we have literally heaped up for ourselves teachers that are turning our ears away from the truth. Ask Charles, who he reads about these kinds of things. Seminaries and seminarians turning out these kinds of folks. Seminaries are turning out people, in some cases, do not even believe in the virgin birth. That's what I'm talking about. And it gets way worse than that. That isn't bad enough. But I fear we have arrived at a time in America when even the church, we have heaped up for ourselves teachers that are turning ears away from the gospel, the good news, the truth of Jesus. That's serious stuff. That's very serious stuff. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, I was from Joshua 24, and I reminded us that Joshua said to the people of God, you got to choose. You have to choose whether you're going to serve the gods of the age from the other side of the Euphrates or from Egypt or the Amorites of whose land you now dwell. You've got to choose if you're going to follow them or you're going to follow the living God. You have to choose. And he suggested to those people, and I'm suggesting to us again today, friends, we have to choose to follow Jesus, okay? We have to choose to be born again. God is not going to force you. I'm not going to force you. I'm going to suggest to you it's a good idea. But we have to choose if we're going to follow him. And then on a daily basis, Joshua was saying to the children, and I'm suggesting to us, we have to choose to say no to the gods of this age. They're all around us, the idols, the temptation, to stay steadfast and focused on the one true living God. We have to choose. Joshua said that, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago. The Bible says that we will find ourselves in a time when we will not tolerate sound doctrine, even in the church. Can you believe that? Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Paul said it would happen. Let me ask you this, just for something to ponder. People ask me all the time, probably ask Marie, as she goes, she's an ordained elder, and Charles, we're pastors in the Free Methodist Church. They ask us all the time, what's the difference between Free Methodist and United Methodist? I just want to say this. We're not the same denomination, okay? We're completely different denominations. And so here's my statement. Here's my question for you to ponder for a moment. I pray for our United Methodist friends because they're going to have another big meeting here. They call it General Conference in May, and they're going to split. They're going to split again. They're going to split it a couple of ways. They may split more than a couple of ways. And I simply ask us, as I make the statement, the Bible says that we'll find ourselves in a time when we will not tolerate sound doctrine. My question then for us to ponder, do you know why the UMC friends are going to have another split? It's exactly what Paul is talking about. They need our prayers. The Bible says that people will put in place church leaders that will just tickle their ears because that's all they want. That's what Paul said would happen. They do not want the truth from Scripture anymore, the Bible says. They want to go to church, want to feel good about being in church, and not be told there is sin in their lives, not be held accountable. We've arrived at that point. The Apostle Paul said, I charge you therefore before God, Timothy, preach the word. Be diligent about that, because the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine anymore. They will put teachers in place that just tickle their ears. The time is coming when that's going to happen, he said. Do you see what the apostle is saying, telling his young preacher Timothy? You got to get it right, Timothy. There's an urgency about this. You got to get it right. You got to get the gospel right. You got to keep proclaiming it in season and out of season, more than just Sunday morning. You got to help correct people when they get wayward. You got to help, even he calls it, rebuke people when they're paying no regard to the way of Jesus. And you got to exhort people. You got to get it right, Timothy, because the time is coming when they're going to just want teachers of the so-called gospel who will actually turn people away from the truth. You got to get it right, Timothy. And so I would ask you, before we get ready to close with our last song and praying for you, are you familiar enough, friends, with this? All of us, are you familiar enough with the Word of God to be able to question what I say or anybody else says? Are you familiar enough with the Word, the truth from Scripture, to dig when you hear statements and you hear belief systems and you hear church leaders saying something that doesn't seem to line up? Are you aware of this enough to validate what's being said or say he's all off base? Are you listening to the Spirit of the living God? Or do we just want to go to church and feel good about our attendance and our life, and even if it's not lining up with Jesus? Because there is a difference. There's a very big difference. And I would simply ask you this morning, be very, very honest with yourselves about that. Let me say this, friends, before our praise team leads us in this last song, and I invite you forward for prayer. Time is going to run out on all of us. Okay, we're going to die. We're going to die at some point. Time is going to run out on all of us. And we're not going to be part of the kingdom of heaven with Jesus and God forever based on, well, I'm a pretty good person. We're not going to be part of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God based on, well, I went to church a couple times. We're only going to be part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and be with Jesus forever when we have recognized I am a sinner who needs a Savior. I am in desperate need of a Savior, and Jesus is the one. And when we repent of sin and come to Jesus by faith, and decide, I'm gonna follow Jesus. Then when we close our eyes in death, we will be with Him forever. Don't be fooled by the watered-down gospels that said all roads lead to heaven. That's not what this says. Don't be fooled by the gospel that says Don't worry about the sin in your life. Don't sweat the small stuff. God loves you. He does love you, but he didn't send his son to that cross so that we could continue in sin. He didn't send his son to that cross and say, continue to follow the world, Jim, or anybody else. And so, friends, I want to ask you today, have you repented of sin and invited Christ into your life? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. And if you haven't, I'd invite you forward this morning to pray with Pastor Marie, Pastor Charles, Pastor myself. I'd invite you to come forward and say, God, I need you. I need you in my life right now. And those of you that want us to pray over you because you're been told you got cancer, or your family has got cancer, or you got something else going on, we'll be glad to do that too.
Heavenly Father, as we conclude our time together, we thank you for your living power and authority over all that, over all things, anything that Satan tries to pervert or destroy. You can just say the word and wipe out all these offenses to your great creation. Each soul that is here today is one in which your son Jesus died for, to conquer death and sin and all those things that corrupt and destroy. So we claim the name of Jesus today and move forward. Continue to help us, Holy Spirit, in bringing conviction to those areas that we still need to work much harder on, and to focus and to make sure that we are walking fully in the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us as we move into our mission field this week. Bring us encouragement, bring us the words, bring us to our knees, that we may worship you fully and be your examples of your son Jesus to the world. We ask in your holy name, amen.